You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts that she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and words to work for you and to bring about a life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, you know who I am. I am Constance Arnold, host of the Think, Believe, and the Manifest talk show. And today I am broadcasting from a simply magnificent Atlanta, Georgia. And guess what? I'm so excited that you've joined me today because I believe that the Spirit of God has attracted you here. And you know, whenever the Spirit attracts you, that means that there's something special for you. I believe that you will receive the download, the insight, the revelation. You know, possibly just that one missing piece of the puzzle that you've been searching for, that you've been pondering, that you've been thinking about. So you should really get excited. Well, how are you doing today? I hope that you are making a decision, and it is a decision, folks, to have a great day, because you know that you really create your own reality moment by moment. Well, I'm doing good here in Atlanta. It's been a great week for me, a busy week for me, but I'm really, really excited. So I'm just going to get right to it. Let me just say up front, thank you so much for all of your emails about how this show is changing your life. I mean, man, I've had some great people on just the last 4 weeks that if you would just listen to those recordings, it could really drastically change your life. Somebody emailed me and said, Constance, I've listened to one recording where I talked about subconscious shifts. She said, I listened to that 10 times. You know, and that's a great thing because we have so many other outer noises that are vying for our attention that when we're trying to shift and change our subconscious, it's really important to hear it over and over and over and over again. And, you know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and just hearing over and over again. So continue to listen, and also send me your Law of Attraction manifestations. I thought it was so great last week when we had the young lady from South Africa and my interior decorator share about their manifestations. But I want to hear from you. I want to hear your story. So email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com and just let me know what's going on with you. And then what else? Oh, donations. Thank you so much to all of you who are realizing that you are being nourished. Your soul is being shifted and changed. You are receiving enlightenment. I already know that some days you might get up and you might be feeling like, I'm not feeling it today. But then when you listen to the Think, Believe, and Manifest show, you become inspired that it gives you hope. So I'm thanking you in advance for your donation while you're on my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Just click your donation and I am saying thank you in advance. Let's see, is there anything else? My guest today, we're going to be talking about anybody interested in learning how to exercise and really be excited about exercising. And he calls it mindful exercise for a happy life, or how to run for your life, or how to run with mindfulness. And he's going to talk about when you do that, what happens is it really helps to diminish stress, got that out, depression, anxiety. Could anybody use that? I mean, one day this week I had a stressful day, and I could have really used that. So I can't wait to hear what William has to say all of the way from the UK. And guess what? He's back. That's right, James Powers is coming back next week. I can't wait to hear what he's going to share. And of course, whenever you hear him, you know your life will change. And social media, you can check me out on social media on Instagram. That's CL Arnold 11 on Twitter, LOA Constance on Facebook, Coach with Constance. And would love for you to just see me in a different light. Let's see, what else do I need to share? Well, I'm going to talk about my second book, Attracting Genuine Love, because people are saying to me, Constance, I'm just so tired of being on the website, on the dating websites, and nothing seems to be happening. I'm so disappointed in relationships. I have some millennials who tell me, people in our generation, they're just not any good partners available. And I disagree with that. But I will say to you that insanity is to keep doing the same thing, but expecting a different result. I believe that most people are looking for love from the outside in instead of the inside out. And so that's why I wrote my book, Attracting and Manifesting Genuine Love, Releasing the Past. You got to do that first, folks. Creating in the now and then manifesting a powerful future. And so, I wrote this out of my 25 years of working with couples and partners and just in my own life and my own struggles. And for years, I conducted 12-step relationship groups. That's all inner work. I did marriage counseling and conducted codependent relationship groups because you have to deal with your own stuff. And we're all wired for love. Everybody's looking for love. But I think that love, I don't think I know that love really begins from the inside out. So I really love this book and I'm really proud of this book because I believe that it really gets to the root of why you've been attracting the wrong partner. How many of y'all want to know that? And this is what some people have said who purchased the book. They said, Constance, I love this book. It gets to the root of why I've been attracting the wrong partner. That's just what I said. Somebody else said, I thought it was the men, but it was really my own self-image and my own stuff. Amen, my sister. A guy said, I love how you have the readers take a look on the inside and discover the why from a place of change. And then it has been easy for me to attract the love of my life. And I would really like to hear your story, sir. And this person said, well, Constance, I wanted to skip over those first chapters where you really had us doing the work. And I just wanted to get to the chapter on getting clear about what you wanted in a partner. But I realized that I've been doing that for years and it had not worked. And I can literally see now why in the past I had not attracted genuine love. But now I'm dating a wonderful person and really excited about it. Okay, so what's the deal? What's different about my book? And I'm using this and have used this in my own life. How many of you really want to attract a genuine love and manifest it? Come on, people. So, in this book, number one, you're going to learn how to identify your past behavior patterns in choosing relationships. Why do you keep choosing the same kind of person? Why do you keep attracting that same person? You've got to discover that and deal with that. Why? So that you can make a healthy choice. Because remember, you attract who you are, not what you want. It took me years to understand that. What does that mean? That means that when you are in a healthy emotional place, psychologically, emotionally, And spiritually, that's what you're going to attract. But if you're in a needy, I need love, I'm starving for love, kind of, I need somebody to make me whole place, you are going to attract that kind of person. And so I'm really proud of this book because I just didn't want to give you another 1, 2, 3, 4 book, but to really once and for all identify your stuff. Okay, so after you do that, what's the next thing? Then you're going to start understanding and implementing universal principles around relationships that will begin to position you to make better choices. Maybe somebody may come into your life and say, "Hey, baby," and he may be fine as the day is long. And as my grandmother used to say, he may be a tall drink of water. But you'll know because you've dealt with your past stuff and you're in a position of wholeness. No, I choose not to date you because it is a choice. Everybody got that? Okay. And so then I love the chapters that I have after you've done your inner work. I'm going to teach you how to call in love with your words, how to begin to act like you already have love in your life. What would you be doing differently? How would you be acting if you already had love in your life? What would you be eating? What would you be wearing? And then how to make room for the new love in your life. I mean, you have to make room for them, not only in your house, but in your life. Are you so busy? Are you, do you have a calendar where you just don't have time for anybody? You have to make room. I had one of my clients just say, clear your Fridays, because she's an entrepreneur, and leave that open so that when love comes, he'll have a place to spend time with you. Everybody see what I'm saying? So I go in really detail about that and then how to get a clear picture of the characteristics that you desire in your soulmate. So what's going to happen is as you begin to heal and implement these principles in your life, that's when the powerful universal attraction process begins. So as you consistently align yourself with your new beliefs about love and relationships and take inspired action, whatever that might be, it might be attending more functions in a certain area, etc. Then you will begin the flow of the love of attraction in your life. So, hey guys, it's worth the investment. You can go to my website. You can get it in Kindle. You can get it downloaded to your Kindle. You can get it in PDF. I would get it in PDF, print it out, and just take my time and just pray over it and say, God, help me. I don't want to keep making the same choices over and over and over again. All right, so let's see. I think that is everything. So go to my website and you can get the book. You can also get it on Amazon, amazon.com. Well, I'm really interested to hear about how we can begin to exercise, or how we can begin to walk, run, move, and be mindful at the same time, and how that creates wellness in our lives. So, going to go to these quick commercials. Hey guys, have you checked out my new commercials? I just love them. And then I'm going to be right back with William. So stay tuned.
Are you planning a motivational or training event for your company or organization? Look no further. Constance Arnold is an experienced, dynamic, and inspirational speaker and trainer. Constance has helped thousands and has a proven track record of 25 years as a keynote and leadership trainer for both private and public sector. Constance provides the latest, cutting-edge, breakthrough, transformational principles that will align with your organization's vision. Participants will receive specific how-tos for both personal and professional empowerment. Contact Constance and partner with her to begin creating your next successful event. Her website is www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com and email is constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Are Are you feeling stuck? Are you ready to live a life beyond your wildest dream? Constance Arnold is a seasoned and experienced professional licensed counselor for 25 years and a certified success life coach and would love to partner with you to create your dreams. She's coached and trained over 10,000 clients on 5 continents and has a proven track record of success. Constance will assist you in getting a clear vision for your life and develop customized strategies, projects, and action steps to begin manifesting your dream. Contact her today at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com and visit her website at fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
Well, I am back and I'm really excited about my guest today. All the way from the UK, my very special guest is Mr. William Pullen, and he is a psychotherapist registered with the British Association for Counseling and Psychotherapy. He has written a dynamic book, Running with Mindfulness, Dynamic Running Therapy, or DRT, to improve low mood. Can anybody relate to that? Anxiety, stress, and depression. And so today we're going to be talking about 5 steps to get moving, get mindful, and lift your mood. And William has been featured in such publications as Vogue, the New York Times, GQ. So I'm really excited about what he has to say. So William, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Thank you, Constance. Nice to be here.
So you live in the UK, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. How are things there?
Well, right now, as we speak, it's a somewhat overcast afternoon, but it's an exciting time. You know, we're in the middle of the autumn, which I always love. You know, I like the changing weather.
Right. Well, you know, when I received your book, I was quite impressed with it. And so we're just going to go ahead and get started. So share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and why in the world, as a therapist, did you decide to really begin to address, I'm going to say, movement or exercise, mindfulness, and dealing with our moods?
Okay, well, starting with who I am, I'm 50 years old. I live in central London. I have a practice here doing dynamic running therapy and just regular therapy as well. I do the running therapy in Hyde Park. How did I get into it? Actually, it's quite simple. About 11 years ago, I was going through a difficult time in my own life, and I took up therapy and I took up running and I took up boxing and everything else I could think of to try and get me out of the hole that I was in. And that's when I noticed how effective running was. And I took up running with a friend, an American friend actually, from Chicago, who was going through a divorce. And together we found ourselves really able to sort of talk through what was happening in our lives, and we noticed how useful and empowering it felt, how it felt that we were really addressing what was going on in our lives. And so not long after that, I decided to become a therapist myself, and through the 6 years of training, I sort of tried to bring all the best elements of that I was taught into one practice, and here we are today.
Yeah, and I just want to say to listeners, and you might not be a runner, you might be a walker like me, but he's going to share that it's movement. So I want you to be open to that. Oh, okay. So William, define what is a DRT?
Well, DRT is a practice. And by the way, the book is not just DRT. The book is a guide to mindful running, mindful walking, mindfulness meditation,
right.
Running with your kids. It's so much more than just the psychotherapeutic element. But the psychotherapeutic element that addresses these things you've mentioned, low mood and anger and depression, etc. That piece, the DRT, how does it work? Well, there's an optional piece at the very beginning of it, which is whenever you go to the park, you'll sit down and you'll do what's known as the grounding process, which is a 4-step process of sort of mindfulness. And you sit there and you become present to where you are using your senses. And then finally, in the fourth step, you decide what you want to focus on in the session, if anything. You then run with the day's question, and there are a whole bunch of questions and stuff to read about on depression or whatever it is, whichever chapter, whichever program you're on. And you run through those and you make notes in the book and you go on a sort of, I call it a journey. And you learn about yourself and you learn about how you treat yourself, because I think that's critical, how you treat yourself, the nature of your inner dialogue, how accepting you are of unpleasant feelings and states. And you record all of this, and at the end of it, you write what's known as the final synopsis. And that's a sort of synopsis of the journey you've been on, and where you are and where you hope to be.
And so, people, we're moving with mindfulness. Define mindfulness, because that's a term that we hear so often these days. So what is mindfulness, and what role would mindfulness play in our beginning to move our bodies with mindfulness?
Okay, well, that's easy, Constance. it probably doesn't sound like it. Mindfulness is merely being mindful. Mindful of what, you might ask? Well, mindful of where you are. Instead of what might be or what may have been, instead of your fears or regrets, you just deal with where you are right now. And because of that, you're mostly concentrating, if not completely, on your senses. Most people use breath. So that if you're doing a mindful meditation, you'll just sit there quietly, concentrating on nothing in your breath. And of course, you'll keep on going back to your plans and your fears. And each time you do, you come back to the present. And people go, oh, well, I can't do that. It's, you know, it's far too difficult. And I'm going to keep on going back to, you know, what I've got to have for lunch and my boss's meeting. The answer is that, of course, you will. That's the whole point. And even the experts at it do exactly the same thing. The point is to recognize that process, to meet it gently, to each time not to castigate yourself, but just to go gently, oh, there I go, back to the... And so you become sort of pleasantly conscious and present, is what I would say.
You know, just you sharing that, I can tell you're a mindful person, because you sound, William, you sound so peaceful and calm. And, and you know, I read the statistics in your book about depression and the millions of people that are suffering with anxiety and depression. And so for listeners out there who might be fearful, so would running with mindfulness, would this really help them? And if so, what would that begin to look like for them?
Well, again, it depends what your why you're reading the book. You know, you could just do the straight up mindful running thing, in which case you're not really going through a series of questions. You're not going on a journey, or at least not one that's written out in the book for you, which is what you would do if you were addressing anxiety or depression, etc. So it depends which way you're going. What your question is focused on, which one?
Well, let's just say depression.
Okay. So you'd open up chapter, whatever it is, 3 or 4, I think, is depression. I talk a lot. I make you understand better the nature of depression. I talk about how we isolate, how we feel the second arrow of depression, which is the first I feel sad and then I feel ashamed of being sad. And then that shame makes me isolate, and the isolate which makes me feel more unhappy. The unhappiness makes me feel like I've got more to be shameful for. So I isolate more, and so on it goes. So all of that sort of explanation helps you see how universal the problem is, what a trap it can be, and how actually all you've got to do is, I say all, it's not easy, but what you've got to do is understand that it's not your fault, that is a condition that you can treat, that there's no need for shame, and that you need to stop practicing things that, such as dynamic running therapy, any kind of exercise, getting out, socializing, doing, just breaking up isolation. So that's a really helpful piece to begin with, and it sort of helps to put you in the right mindset. Now, from then on, you go through my 20 questions as many times as you want to, whichever ones you want to, and each one you'll run with. And it'll ask you, what is your relationship with depression? What do you think of other people with depression? What do you do when you're depressed? And then it gets a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. And it's constantly asking you to consider what you do with difficult feelings. I don't know about you, but I know that we live in a world now where there are a lot of people who are choosing medication, right?
William, what is your take on medication?
Well, I think my take is probably industry standard for psychotherapists. We believe that there's absolutely a place for them, mm-hmm. But only when you are really properly depressed and you have tried everything else. Because what antidepressants can do is they can stop that nonstop negative thinking in your mind. And sometimes you need to stop that in order to start either relaxing enough to change some of the things you're doing in your life or just think other thoughts. But as long as you're caught up in those, which at your most depressed people often are, it's very difficult to break out of it. So it's just a way of sort of breaking out more quickly, I think. And of course, it can be for people who are severely depressed, it can be a lifesaver. So, no, I think there's definitely a place for them.
And so with people, when people make a decision or they begin to think in the direction that if I can get moving and be mindful, I can change my mood. Is that what you're saying?
That's part of it. It's not really about changing your not on the spot. You're not trying with mindfulness. You're not actually trying to do anything.
Okay. You're just being present.
You're being present. And when you notice the urge to make that moment good or bad or useful, you ignore all of that and you just try to be present with what is. And you notice that there is a peaceful place to be with just what is. And it's about stopping micromanaging your life. Stop running from things. Stop trying to run to things.
Wow.
When
you say just being in that moment and not defining it, but just it might be somebody sitting outside. Before I got on the call, I was sort of sitting outside with a cup of coffee, looking at my trees, just moment by moment. Not defining it, but just enjoying and inhaling and embracing that moment. So would
Absolutely.
That be an example of mindfulness? I'm just trying to get my listeners really clear because we're just so performance based that we got to be doing something.
Yeah, no, it's so true. I think that's a great example of it. You know, there's another one with mindful walking. I live right opposite a garden here in London, and I'll just walk around in circles on there. But what you notice actually is if you try to take in every breath, see if you can hear yourself breathing, see if you can feel and hear the wind, see if you can hear your footfall. You know, we tend to edit out our footfall. If you concentrate on each of these sensations, or as you were, the rustling of the leaves, the light as it catches on this leaf or travels through these branches, and you just become present to that, become playful with it, enjoy it. Allow yourself just to sort of submerge into it. You find that actually your breathing changes, you get a better complete breath, and for a moment you switch off from, as you said, this crazy, productive, hyperactive world we all seem to live in.
So, you know, we want to talk about these five steps to get moving and mindful. So what are those steps and what would they look like in the lives of our listeners?
Now, let's just be clear what you're asking. Are you talking about how do I start mindful walking or mindful running? Or are you talking about what do I do for DRT?
We're talking about what do you do for mindful walking or running.
Okay, I've got it. Okay, so you put some comfortable shoes on and you head outside. That's step one. Step two is to find somewhere that's ideally you're familiar with, so that whether you're walking or running, you don't have to be concentrating on not getting lost or not getting hit by cars. Ideally, you're in a park you're familiar with or a route you're familiar with, and that you find enjoyable. Obviously, you don't want to be somewhere you don't like. So that's step two. If you are, let's deal with the running one. If you're running, you can stretch if you want to. That's another thing. I don't get into that part, but and this is really it's you know, this book is about becoming, I suppose you'd say, spiritually and emotionally well. It's not about getting super fit, you know.
Yeah.
Although you will get fit if you follow the program, and you may add some speed onto yourself if you are a runner. So I'm not giving sort of directions on stretching and good sneakers. I'm saying to people, you know, get out there and get moving. So step three, you're now moving a little bit if you're walking or running. So find your pace. It's important that you have a pace that feels comfortable. You shouldn't be testing yourself too much. You know, you're not trying to, you're really trying to just find a comfortable rate of walk or running. And then you decide to, you could decide once more to remind yourself of why you're there, which is to be present, to enjoy this moment so that you don't allow your mind to drift into that. Got to be, got to do, got to get this done place, and start rather just be where you are. And then finally, you, if you're running, for instance, or I suppose walking is the same, you'll count something. So it could be counting each time your left foot comes down, or each time your right foot comes down. And then once you get to 10, you'll come back again. And in this way, you, after a while, it becomes sort of like a metronome, and you forget that you're doing it. And you just sort of, you start to flow. And that's the place you want to be, concentrating on your environment. You can count trees, you can count people. Just enjoy where you are and be present to it, and allow the movement to start to create a sense of flow that you can surrender into, I suppose you'd say.
Right. You know, just you explaining that process, I hope that listeners can really feel how that could really change their day. And so you're moving with mindfulness. I know that there were many times, and I'm a walker runner for years, and I would say, I got to get out there and run, because I ate a piece of cake last night, you know, and the motive was just really not right. And it was more of a stressful time rather than a time of being mindful. And so in your book, do you believe that as we move our bodies and we're more mindful, that healing and peace and stress is relieved in our lives?
Yes, unquestionably. I mean, I think that's what all the research seems to show, is any kind of mindfulness practice is going to lead to reduced stress and better relationships and all the things that come from being in a calmer, happier place, which is, you know, everything comes from there, really, at the end of the day. So, yeah, no, I'm a massive believer, and the research backs it up. And then, of course, there's when you're outside and you're moving, you know, you're doing what your body was made to do. Mm-hmm. You know, as we talk about here in the UK, sitting is the new smoking. I'm sure you say the same thing over there.
I hadn't heard that.
No? Well, you know, it's terrible for you. Your body is like a sports car, or originally anyway, when we're younger. And it's made for running around the place. It's made for, you know, hunting out eggs and nuts and anything you can nibble on. And that's what our DNA, our heritage, is written into us. We're hunter-gatherers. We're not sitting around. That's only come to us quite recently. And the price of sitting around is enormous. It's spiritually, it's not rewarding. It doesn't make us feel as though we're involved in the world properly. We get caught up in our head, and the energy we're supposed to be using and enjoying just doesn't know what to do with itself. So it shoots up your brainstem and then bounces around the inside of your head looking for anything to sort of feed off, which is normally some sort of fear. And, you know, and if a fear is only a two, it'll turn it into a five just for something to do.
Right, right. What other principles from your book would you like to share with the listeners, William?
What are the principles? Well, I'd like people to definitely understand that anybody can get something out of this book. Walking, running, get outside, enjoy being outside, enjoy each step. Remember what it's like to lie in the grass face down, smell the grass. As you walk, and this could be on your lunch break, just slow down and notice how your heel comes down. Make an effort to be perfectly balanced. Just enjoy what your body's doing. Don't allow everything to become automatic. When you pour your hot water for your tea in the morning, which we do a lot of in this country, mm-hmm. notice how you do it. Don't make it automatic so that your mind is somewhere else. Become present. Listen to the sound of the water as it comes into your tea, into your cup. Can you make that very even? Can you make it less even? Are you holding the handle in a way that feels comfortable? Are you enjoying the texture of the handle? There's so much in our environment to connect with. And when we lose that connection, it's normally because we're caught up in our own heads. And that's what I would try to get your readers out of.
And so for someone who might say, wow, that really sounds hopeful to me, would they just begin gradually? I love the example of the teapot that you gave, because I could see how that would really keep you mindful and in the moment. So for someone who might have been a couch potato, I don't know if you know what that is or not.
I do.
Okay. No. Someone who's a couch potato who may not be feeling great and maybe be overweight and isolated and depressed, would they just gradually begin to get up and move and become mindful? What would that look like?
Yeah, I mean, just as you say, you know, if walking's your thing and you've got a fantasy of running later on, you know, just start off with the walking bit, even if you can only walk slowly, even if you can only walk 100 meters, then just the point is not how much or how fast, but the point is how you do it. It's to do it in a way that's about doing it properly rather than doing it best.
I love that. So share with our listeners an example of someone you know, a friend or a patient who has used this process and it changed their lives.
Well, I can think of one person in particular. Okay. I will give him the name of Mark.
Okay.
It's obviously not his real name, but he was a client who, obviously for confidentiality reasons, I'll be disguising an element or two, but he was a gentleman that was stuck in a marriage. He's a smoker and had another bad habit, but mostly he was stuck. And that's what I get very excited about working as a therapist and advocating in this book, which is growth, which is change. You know, if you're not growing, you're dying. I love to loosen people up. I love people who think that they're stuck somewhere and they can't see a way of getting out of a situation, an emotion. I use DRT to shift my emotions, but you can use it just as well to help you find clarity on a situation which otherwise you feel rather powerless about. Perhaps there's a job you want to change. Perhaps you're unhappy in a relationship and you can't find the courage to confront it. Perhaps there's somebody you like that you want to say something to. Perhaps there's somebody you don't like that you want to say something to. It gives you the time and the confidence to know yourself better and make the right choices for yourself. Because guess what? When you're out there and you're walking and you're moving, you're enacting the very kind of change that you want in your life, right? You wouldn't show up there if you didn't want to be in movement. So you're dedicating yourself with your body. You're creating the movement that you want in the rest of your life.
And so with this particular client, he started practicing the program and his whole life just turned around?
Yeah. And he stopped smoking, ended an unhappy marriage, met someone else, had a child.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just so powerful. You know, one principle that I really want you to elaborate on, you talk about making room for your feelings, that as you move, you're going to reconnect with feelings that might have been hidden sort of deep down on the inside of us. So a lot of people don't want to welcome these feelings. So what would that look like? And why is it important to sort of welcome whatever feelings come to us as we are moving and mindful?
Well, because in my experience as a therapist, what I found is that, and as a human, and as a friend and everything else, I've noticed that what people do is they tend to work on and manage the emotional states and problems that are easiest first and work their way backwards. And there's an area often of ourselves which we don't like to go to, which we find really that kind of sticky area where we try to ignore it or we try to fix it. You know, oh, whenever I worry about that, I have a cookie instead, or I turn on a Game of Thrones or whatever it may be. So what I'm saying is, rather than turning on Game of Thrones and having a cookie, just see if you can be with the feeling for a moment. Now, when I say be with it, I'm not saying, you know, wallow in it. I'm saying acknowledge it. It's your experience. It's your life. There's nothing wrong with it. The problem becomes when we have an attitude that says, no, I can't deal with this. There's something wrong with it. I don't like it. I must put on Game of Thrones. Because each time we do that, we build up this fear of that particular feeling until it becomes some enormous thing hiding in a cupboard. And what I try to say to people is, hang on, just open the cupboard and you'll find out it's very doable. It's not that bad. You know, it's what you're doing with it is making it worse. It may have been bad at some point. So I'm saying to people, take a look at what's in the cupboard. Try to welcome it as part of your life. You know, we're supposed to have good and bad in our life. The important thing is the attitude with which you meet it. If you try to choose only the good things in your life, if you try to avoid all pain, you will end up in a pickle, probably a drug addict or somebody whose mind is completely overtaken by social media and. Do you see what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying. And, you know, it's so true. When I heard you say people go to Game of Thrones, which I've never seen that before. And all of my friends say, don't tell people you've never seen that before, you know, or a piece of cake. Just this week, I had a really busy week, and I didn't have time to really prepare like I normally do. And I could tell I was a little out of balance. And I was so proud of myself. I went into this great restaurant, and it was like this piece of cake was calling my name, Constance. But I knew. I said, no, I think I'm going to go walking. And if I want to come back to get that piece of cake, then I will. And I was so proud of myself for making that decision, because it showed me all of the options that I had. And I think it really reflected the inner work that I had been doing.
Oh, that's a fantastic story. And that's a great technique, you know, delaying gratification. It really does work. For people who are giving up smoking, I always say to them the same thing. Look, just walk around the block once. Just stop thinking about it. Do something else for 5 minutes. And if you still feel like a cigarette after that, then have one. And so many times people, their mind goes somewhere else and they don't want the cake anymore. And they don't want the cookie anymore. They don't want the cigarette anymore. So that's another hack that really worked.
And so when people are running or are walking mindfully, would you say that it really brings about a confidence, and then they're feeling great about themselves, having more clarity, and then it begins to impact other areas of their lives?
Oh, absolutely. It really does. It reaches out into everything. I notice when I'm doing my own mindfulness practice, when I'm doing it as I should be, mm-hmm. and you know, they say that you should particularly do it when you don't feel like it. I notice that when I am doing it, I am so patient, so much more patient than I am otherwise. Situations which would otherwise have really frustrated me, delayed trains or whatever it may have been, I just have this kind of calm. I'm able to observe it and go, oh, you know what? I don't have to react to this. I don't have to respond to this in that way. I can just go, oh, there it is. So it just makes you calmer. It puts you more in touch with, I think, what you want, right? It empowers you. You start to see, no, look, I'm the person that's caring for myself. I'm the person that's involved in this journey with myself, and I am there for myself. And so suddenly I'm like, that gives me a sense of confidence that I know what to do in these moments when I come across a cake or I want to get this thing done. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm doing things and I know how to get things done. And I know how to make the right choices. I think when we're depressed, we end up in the other way, don't we? I'm always making the wrong choices. I'm powerless. And if I'm powerless, I'm definitely going for the cake.
Well, you know, you also talked about not striving too hard, which I love this because we're so performance based. And so you said it's not conventional exercise. It's more like you're just relaxing and sort of flowing with your body. Expound on that. Is that what people would do?
Yes, and I'm asking people to observe their inner dialogue as they run. And if part of that inner dialogue is, oh, God, this is so boring, I hate this, or I'm too slow, or I need to be faster, or how do I get the most, to observe that, to learn those things about yourself, you know, and ask yourself, is that who I want to be? Is that what I want from this situation? And don't just go, oh, well, there I am again, or that society. Say, no, well, listen, if I'm learning this about myself, well, can I slow down? Can I find a speed here, walking or running, which is comfortable? And why can't I choose comfort? Why don't I choose comfort in my life? Why am I always trying to get ahead? Why am I always never getting to where I'm trying to get to and ruining the present moment? So it's that sort of thing. It's learning yeah. how to listen to yourself and respect and acknowledge what's going on for you.
And, you know, I notice, and sometimes I do when I'm walking, running, I'll have my headset on listening to music or listening to some motivational thing on YouTube. But you're asking people to actually be present, right?
Yeah.
So that they can hear their inner dialogue. That's a lot different than...
Well, I'm not saying every time... you have to have the music off. I think, you know, you can have it. Remember, hearing is another one of the senses. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to music, breathing in the air, listening to the trees, the birds, that's all good. It's when your mind is worrying about yesterday or tomorrow. It's getting out of your mind into your senses. So I don't mind music so much. But I think what you're really trying to get to, the reason you don't want music all the time and you want to be able to observe these states is because that's where the growth area is. It's easier to recognize, I think, with the music off. It's easier to recognize, oh, the musts and the shoulds, and I have to do this. I have to. It's such an unconscious thing, right? It drives us. We wake up in the morning. I have to do this. I have to be that. Right away, there's this huge weight on us, and we do it day in and day out, and we forget that it's actually optional. How we think about things is optional. I don't have to respond to the thing. Can be what it is still. I may still have the work, but it doesn't mean I have to stress out about it for an hour. Right?
So true. And you know, I'm going to practice that, William, because I'm always listening to something as I'm walking. But I could see how if I would really practice mindfulness and just be in touch with my environment, I could really tackle some emotional stuff that might be going on with me.
Well, it'll come to you anyway, right? So just concentrate on your breath as you're walking. If you're going to start off with mindful walking, just start off by concentrating on your breath, first of all. And when I say concentrate, I mean notice it. I don't mean try to change it in any way. I just mean notice it. Become one with your breath. Notice it come in, notice it come out, hear it. And you'll find that will be quite engaging. The more you put into that, the more your mind and your body and everything just becomes one with your breath. And then stuff will come up for you. And that's where it gets interesting. It's like, oh, that's interesting that that thought or that concern should suddenly pop up. What's that about?
And so when stuff comes up for people, what should they do with that stuff, you know, at the end of their movement or at the end of their running or walking?
Well, if it's just straight mindful walking or running, you're not doing anything with it. In fact, what you want to do is just notice it. Notice your attitude to it, and then come back to your breath. Mm. So you're noticing that these things exist. You're not trying to fix them. Remember, we're not trying to fix or avoid. We're just noticing and then coming back to the mindful breath so that we can learn how to be the person. We can practice being a person who doesn't feel they have to always fix or avoid.
Yeah.
They can just be. If you're doing one of the programs for depression, anxiety, then you're going to be running with a particular question for the day. And you're going to be sort of running mindfully with it, but it's a sort of different kind of mindfulness. It's a mindfulness where you're going to hold this, the day's question, you're going to think about it before you run, and you're going to sort of try to become one with the question. And what comes up for you, you're going to notice that, and you're going to notice your response to it. So you're mindful to your attitude to pain, to emotional regret, etc.
So,
and that's what you're going to work on.
So give me an example of one question that a person might be running with that they know they're going to be thinking about doing the run.
Have I looked at everything that I can in order to improve my depression? Because I think often people, as I said, they try the easiest stuff first and then they leave the fact that they're drinking too much or in a job that they hate. They're leaving these things out. So I ask them to really think about whether they have an authentic relationship with their depression. Are they really ready to change? Are they really ready to... think about what's needed, because, you know, I'm about what I get excited about my work is helping people change, helping people grow. And that takes decisions and it takes choices. And of course, when you're depressed, the thing that you have least of is the power to make choices and to change. So it's tough work for everybody. I know that. I know it's not easy. I'm not suggesting for a moment that it is. But if you're depressed, there are things you can do. And so I'm going to ask people, why aren't you doing it?
Okay.
And I want them to run with that and ask themselves an honest question. And in that process, they'll know more about themselves and they'll understand, you know, something about the choices that they're making for themselves and the fact that some of them really are their own choices and some of them are circumstantial.
I just love it. Is there anything else, any other info you would like to share with people? I can just see how easily, not easily, but how this could work. I love your compassionate, I would say easy approach in which people don't have to judge themselves, but they're just, like you said, gently bringing their mind back to a particular question or gently bring their mind back to being mindful.
What would I add? Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's about being compassionate, understanding and accepting of yourself and the feelings that you have. No matter what they are, whatever your fears are about yourself, I'm lazy, I'm angry, I'm whatever judgment it is that you think you have, whether it's true or it's not true, just to meet it and go, oh, okay, so I've got this about me. I'm like all people, I'm a flawed human being. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Let me work with who I am. Let me learn how to accept what I am and who I am. And so that I can concentrate on being the best version of myself that I can be, rather than live in a life of regret.
Wow. You know, it's a great process. I love your book. Share with the listeners how they can get your book, what your website is, what your other contact info is, etc.
Okay, so the book you can find on Amazon.com. It's called Running with Mindfulness, Dynamic Running Therapy to Improve Low Mood, Anxiety, Stress, and Depression. You can find it with my name, of course, William Pullen, P-U-L-L-E-N. You can find me and the book on my website, dynamicrunningtherapy.com. You can find me on Twitter, which is at Pullen Therapy. There's an Instagram account there as well, even a Facebook, of course. I've got them all. Yeah, I think that's about it. I'll be coming to the States soon, so hopefully I'll get to meet. Oh, the book is for sale in bookstores too, so take a look in there.
Ah, are you going to be coming anywhere near Atlanta?
I certainly hope so.
Okay, if you do, I would love to meet you in person. And so, William, in closing, what would you like to say to people all over the world today?
Get moving. Get moving, that's all. Whatever it is, get playful, get moving. Do something, you know, do something with your body if you can, you know. Take yourself on an adventure, even if it's just around your living room. But don't just sit down all day long.
So
you know, life
true.
Is an adventure. It's to be lived.
Yeah, that's great advice. And I'm big on, William, on taking baby steps. So I'm going to really encourage listeners to take a baby step in the area of your moving. So everybody, just remember my website is fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And of course, you know, you can email me at Constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Check out the Law of Attraction Radio Network magazine. Jewel has done a phenomenal job with the magazine. It's absolutely free and it has some great articles. And I think that's it. And as I say every week, everybody, you know, you may not feel it or know it, but you're surrounded by love. Why? Because God loves you. And you know that I'm crazy about you and that I love you. And just think about this week. All things are possible. Only believe.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance Arnold will be back next week with another great show just for you. For more information, please visit fulfillingyourpurpose.com.